Good morning. It's great to be here, and we're going to pray. Father, you drew everyone in this room that knows you. You drew them, Lord, to yourself. You have a purpose and a plan and a destiny in their lives, in our lives, all our lives, to know you and to know your great love. So, Lord, I pray today that your word would go forth with power. There'd be conviction by the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would stir the Holy Spirit up in each and every one of us today, that our hearts would be open to receive from you a touch from heaven, that your word that is truth will stir and bring truth in us today, Lord, that we would get to know you and know you a little more, Lord. Because when we get to know you a little more, we will love what you love. And God, your word says you love, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And as Steve and Pam talked about the block party, and as Brian and his crew have gone out into the neighborhoods, God, we've reached and touched many people. Well, Lord, we're asking you. They're yours, Lord. They're the ones that you have predestined to know you. So, Lord, bring them into this house where love will be poured out on them in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's almost vacation time. It's going to be over in another month and a half, right? And we'll get to the full brunt of what's going on. If you want to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. One of the things the Lord has had me stirred up for about, a while. He gets me stirred up every now and then. And in John 14, John 14, the disciples have been with Jesus about 3 years, a little over 3 years. And John 14 is a picture that I believe is going on in the church today. What I've been watching and studying in the church and listening to the types of prophetic people I listen to and study and read, there is a bringing back of the church people to know their God. The real issue in the church is we've had quite a few years where we have done church. We've made church the issue. And, you know, all these new types of churches springing up that are the seeker sensitive and all this stuff that's going on. What has happened is we haven't really kept our eyes fixed and focused on Jesus. And what's really happening is God is beginning to draw his church. He's beginning to bring his church back into relationship with him, with God, that we would really get to know our God. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, it says, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul," which is your mind, your will and your emotions, "and with all your strength." Well, the question comes up. It says, "You shall love." God is love. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. So we shall learn this love. We get this love from God to love God so we can love what he loves. That's literally what's going on. What does he love? He does love the lost. He loved us. We were all at one time lost, most of us. And God loved us. He draws us into this relationship. It's a love relationship with love. And love is something that God is, and he's called us to walk in, to know, to become lovers of God. And literally, when we learn to love God, we will become deliverers of men. Now, that's not an original statement. That's a Mike Bickle statement. And Mike Bickle's one of my fans. And And then Mike Bickle has another statement that he's all over the internet everywhere. He's been speaking it for 20-some years. It's called that Jesus is his is our magnificent obsession. Obsessed with Jesus. And in this culture today, in the church culture and in the worldly culture, people are obsessed with everything else other than Jesus. And we have got to get back to this whole deal about who is Jesus. Are we in love with Jesus? Are we learning love? Are we walking in love? Are we going to love what he loves? Because evangelism has got to move into the place where we begin to love what God loves. Well, if we don't know God, we don't spend any time with God, we don't know his heart, how can we love what he loves? And I think one of the most important things that's happened with going out and visiting the neighborhoods, and we've done a little bit of it, and there's some that are very faithful, and they go every week. The people out around us are lost. They don't know God. We've run into some that, well, I was in the church. I'm kind of mad at the church. We ran into, you know, different people. And I think Brian and the rest of the crew have run into those types too. Why are they mad at God? How can, and the question was, I asked the Lord about it, and he says, how can they be mad at me if they don't know me? And I thought, wow, that's a powerful word, Lord. How can people who once used to go to church be mad at me if they don't know me? Because to know God is to love him, right? Because he's love, isn't he? God is love. And how can people be upset with God? Well, you know, they're not upset with God because they don't know God. What they know is the church and the church experience. And the church has moved in the last few years away from him. When I got saved back in the 70s, people were running to God. And I got saved in the Jesus People movement, 1974. God had worked on my life. And one of the things we did in our home group this year, we had an evangelism home group over at Steve's. And in that home group, guess what we all had to do? Give our testimony. Do you know your testimony? And what does it say in Revelations 12:11? They will know them by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony that they did not love their life unto death. See, the reality is that God has given each one of us a testimony, and it should be a testimony based on his love for us. He picked you out of a mess. Everyone in this room has probably been in a pit or been in something. I thought when I came out of the womb as a Lutheran, I had it all going on. Well, I had to run into God a few times to figure out I didn't. But I didn't get saved when I ran into God in my younger years. I just kept going until he brought me to a place. And that has happened to many of you in this room. One of the interesting things about prison is that most of the men in prison have had experiences in jail or in prison where they've run into God. God's had to get them into prison to get their attention. Well, but if God gets our attention, why do we struggle knowing him? And we're going to talk about that. Chapter 14 of John. Do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God. Believe in and trust in and rely on also on me. See, the disciples had a problem. They were raised in the law, the generations of the law for so long. Then they hang out with Jesus for 3 years, and they still struggled with who Jesus was. And we're going to keep going here. In my Father's house there are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I am going away to prepare a place for you. And when I go and make ready a place for you, I will come back again and will take you to myself, and there where I am, you may also be. And to the place where I'm going, you know the way. Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Well, see, they didn't understand. But Jesus had to get them. He says, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, had learned to recognize me, you would also have known my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. Cause us to see the Father. Father, that is all we ask, then we shall be satisfied. Jesus said, Have I been with you all for so long a time, and you do not recognize and know me? Yet, Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Look, Jesus is God. He is the Lord. He was in the beginning. And he is. See, these guys struggled with who Jesus is. And I really believe that a lot of people struggle with who Jesus is too. Because they don't really, it's like the disciples. These guys spent 3 years with Jesus and they didn't know him. Well, they knew him. They saw what he did. They saw the works. They saw the awesomeness of who he was. Now, when Jesus says, I'm leaving, guess what? Well, who are you? Really is what they're saying. Where's the Father? They were focused on the Father, not on the Lord. And what does the scripture say? Jesus, all things are summed up in Jesus. And we have to learn that if they saw Jesus, they saw the Father. Because Jesus said, the Father is in me and I'm in him. And he said it in John 17. And if you study through here, he said it over and over and over. Did they get it? And I think it's a problem that we have. Because we have to get to know our Father because he is love. We got to get in our spirit, man, that God is love. And that the spirit in us is designed to know and walk in that love. And that Jesus loved what God loved. He loves us. And we gotta, and what God is saying is, and where the struggle today is that we've got this thing so twisted out of realm of the scripture that people struggle knowing their God. How in the heck are we gonna walk in the power and the presence of God if we don't know him? It's gonna be hard. And he's bringing his church to a place, I believe, that we're going to have to get to know him. Know him. I mean, the worship today, the first song was all about knowing God. God is interested, really interested. He's more desirous of us knowing him than we want to do it, than we want to be. Because if we were really interested in this to the degree that he's called us to know him, then guess what? We'd be spending a lot more time with him, right? We'd be spending that time with him, with our God. Because the amazing thing about God is he has designed us to know him, to know him. We are the temple, he says, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're the temple where God chose to dwell. And what that means is that if his spirit, that Holy Spirit that's in us, the spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the gentleness, the kindness, the meekness, the humility, the brokenness, the long-suffering, and the self-control that comes out of the seven spirits of God is in us. And is designed by God to know him. It's designed by him. He designed it. It's his. And he designed us to be full of it full of that Spirit so we could love what he loves. But where are we going to get the love? See, we cannot manufacture love. The only thing you and I have that we try to do is be good. But the Bible says there's only one good one, and his name is Jesus. So that's why the spirit life is critical to the church. Isaiah 11, the seven spirits of God, the spirit of the Lord, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding and revelation, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, the spirit of the knowledge of God, and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. And those are the spirit life is critical, because if we don't let our spirit man absorb, be in contact with the Father, be in contact with the Holy Spirit, to have those spirit relationships, what comes out of us is goodness. And it doesn't bring life. You understand? Doesn't bring life. And you and I are designed by God to be life givers. We're to be life givers. What's sitting in this room today is the power of God to produce life in people by the Spirit. Your words, your actions, how you deal with people is designed by God to bring life. And God's looking for a church. He's going to have a remnant church that actually believes it, learns it, walks in it, studies it, and literally gives it away to those around us. Isn't that exciting? I mean, you think about what God designed us to do, how to walk, and look, every one of us in this room has had stuff happen that has discouraged us, brought doubt, fear, unbelief, all kind of stuff in our lives, so we back off from pushing forward. Right? Huh? Anybody in here have any problems? Huh? Any of you got any trouble? Of course should we do. Why? Because they're going to come. I mean, we spent how long did we spend in James? A year and a half. Count it all joy in your trials and your tribulations. Count it joyful. Amen. We got an amen back there. There you go. An amen. There's an amen. That's what your life's going to be. You're going to have it. It's going to happen. But you have to learn that the spirit life is the way to deal with it. I mean, you could go back to drugs, drinking, all kind of other stuff, but that won't help, will it? No. See, the problem is, if these guys in here, look, they were the ones that God was going to use to birth the church. Look at this crew. 3 years. I mean, look at Philip. Jesus said, hey, Philip, I have been with you all of you for so long a time, and you do not recognize and know me. Wow, what a statement. You know why they struggled with it? Because that old religious law that was so ingrained in them for so many years, for generations upon generations upon generation, was still hammering them. I'm serious. You think about what happened, and Jesus comes along, he's right in the middle of them, and they say, well, you don't recognize me? Well, we saw you raise the dead. Gee, we saw you feed 15,000 people. We saw you walk on water. We saw you do all this stuff. I'm he. And I'm going away. Now what are you boys going to do? Well, guess what? We'll keep going. Do not Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? What I'm telling you, I do not say on my own authority and of my own accord, but the Father who lives continually in me does the works, his miracles, his own deeds of power. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the very works themselves. If you cannot trust me, at least these works that I do in my Father's name convince you. It's the works. They didn't know him, but guess what? They saw the works. Did they believe the works? Yeah, they did. And how many people around them besides these 12 disciples believed the works? Lots of them, because they saw a lot of stuff. But they still struggled. And see, I was praying over this thing, the Lord says, well, you got to realize that powerful, old-time religious spirit. I got that old-time religion. I got that old-time religion. I hear that song, I just make the hair in the back of my neck stand up. Because it's not the old-time religion. It's the relational relationship with our Father. He's still not old time, is he? He's alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. All the old time religion's dead, because all it produces is old time religion. It's the life in the spirit realm that is coming to the forefront. And believe you me, it's coming like a freight train. It's coming like we've never seen. And God has prepared this church. We've been here 13 years. And God has prepared this little church. And it's been through a lot of stuff. We've been through most of it. Because God is preparing a heart, a remnant people, that is willing to say, okay, I'm willing to yield and give up my identity and possess the identity of Jesus. Don't I want to be like Jesus? Who do I want to be like? Who do you want to be like? I want to be like Jesus, don't you? I want to learn the love of God so I can love what God loves. Verse 12, I assure you and most solemnly tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will be able to do the things that I do. And he will do even greater things than these, because I go to the Father. Jesus is going to the Father. And he says, we're going to do the greater. Why? Because down in the verse 17, well, verse 6, I'll keep going. And I will do it myself. I will grant whatever you may ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Yes, I will grant, will do for you whatever you ask in my name. If you really love me, you will obey my commands. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter. The comforter is the counselor. He's the helper. He's the intercessor. He's the advocate. He's the strengthener. He stands by that he may remain with you forever. He gives you this. You're temples. And you've got this in you. You've actually got this comforter in you. He's your helper. He's your counselor. He's your intercessor. What's Jesus doing right now? He's in heaven interceding for us. That's what he's doing. He's your helper. How many have cried out to God and he's helped you? About everybody in this room, I'll bet. He's your advocate. He stands with you. He's got your back, right? He gives you all the strength you need. And he will never leave you or forsake you. Right? You got him. You got this, right? We all got this? Huh? You all got this? I'm serious. You got this? You better get this, because this is what you got. And we don't understand what this means. We're looking for more. See, the church is out looking for more. It's got to be something else. Hello? What are you talking about? There's got to be more than this? This is the Lord. We've lost our vision of what this is. Why do people keep searching for something different? You know, I spend quite a bit of time in prisons. And they got this thing going on in prison. And I hear it's hit the mainstream. It's called Chrislam. Anybody know what Chrislam is? It's the good in Islam and the good in Christianity together. They got that going all through the prison. And these guys were going looking for the good. In fact, they got a sign in the chapel up at Connell Prison that says, we want to get together and bring the good together. Really? There's no spirit of God in that. That's the evil one. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it's the devil. And that leads people to hell. And the problem is, people aren't content. When you tell a Christian that you're to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you get the counselor, you get the helper, you get the intercessor, he's your advocate, he strengthens you, and he stands by you, and he will be with you forever. And then the next verse says, guess what else you get? You get the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Wow. You think about that. And it's right there. And God is saying to his church, you want more than that? You think there's more? Ooh, we better not think that way. We better get comfortable with that. We better base our faith and our relationship with our Father on that, because that's what he's given. Because this stuff is really designed to help us to know our God. This stuff is all about knowing our God. We get to know him. And what he's saying to us is it enough? I've yet to meet anybody that knows a lot about their God. In fact, a lot of people I've met that know a lot about God are kind of like Paul. You know, I've done this a long time. I don't know if I really know him. Because you see, they're just discovering the power of this life. And every one of us have got to experience the power of this life. 17, at the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. And the Amplified says it like this, welcome, take it to its heart, because it does not see him, nor know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you. That's in us. See, we got to get a grip on who we are. We forgot who we are. Well, not all of us, but a lot of have. But if you're struggling with this, you better ask God, who am I? And you better understand that the Word says who is in you. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in you. Is that powerful? Is there any trial or tribulation or anything that can separate you from that relationship? No. Can you get discouraged? Hopeless? Sick? Yeah. But can you get over it? Yeah. Can you get over it? Sure you can. Because as your spirit man gets filled up with God, and you have a family that is around you and that will support you and help you get through this, that's what you got. right? That's what we got here, isn't that right? So we got, don't we help each other? But just think all the lost ones out there that God is going to bring our way that don't have what we have. They're coming. And are we going to be ready for them? I think we are. I believe, like Steve, I believe we are in revival because people are hungry for the things of God. There's a lot of people sitting in this room that are really striving and scurrying and stirring to know their God. And that is awesome. And all I can do is encourage you to keep going. Keep going, keep going, keep going. Because you got to spend your whole life on knowing, doing this, you know that? Some of you are real young. You got your whole life to spend on knowing your God. Us older folks, well, we don't know how many years we got, but we just got to keep going. What are we going to do? Really, what are you going to do? Retire? Retire, go on vacation from God? There's people, you know, that literally have retired and gone on vacation from God. I know a bunch of them. They're not interested. And I've watched the life go right out of them. And I've said, wow, how in the heck can you do that? Well, the real issue is they never spent the energy and the time to know him. They spent a lot of time knowing about him. You notice in the seven spirits of God, the sixth spirit, it's the knowledge of God. It's not the knowledge about God. See, our whole culture is wrapped in the about thing. That's what this thing's all about. I need to know about something. I just pull this out, right? But I guess if I need to know him, I'm going to have to get in his presence. Turn to Psalm 39, or 40. Psalms 40. It's one of my favorites, and it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet on the rock and established my steps. He put a new song in my mouth, praise to our God. Many will see it and fear, and it will trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are your wonderful works. What you have done and your thoughts toward us cannot be recounted to you in order. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be more than can be numbered. Think about that. I waited patiently for the God, for our Lord. The waiting. It's the waiting. It's the watching. It's going into becoming a Matthew 6:6 person, going into your closet, shutting the door and waiting on your God. And he will come and visit. Well, I don't feel like doing it. So if you don't do it, then the trial and the tribulation is going to keep wearing away at you. So you got to do it, right? Why? Well, that's what Jesus did. And again, we're to be like Jesus. Just think when Jesus told the disciples, he gave them what's going on in Matthew 6, go into your closet, shut the door, and wait for your Father. And then pray the Lord's Prayer. I got a hunch the 12 disciples probably never heard a prayer like that. Because most of the prayers they heard were the old Jewish prayers. You know, what the priest prayed. But Jesus told them, you got to do it, dude. You 12 got to get with the program. And we don't know how many people are hanging around them, but that's what he told them. Why? Because they needed to learn to establish the relationship. And it's just like us. How do you establish this relationship with your God? It requires time. Time. You have resource. What resource do we really have? We got the time. We got our talents. Some of us got treasure. You know. But basically, the main resource you and I have is time. Most of our time in our culture is spent on us, not on God. Right? Anybody agree with that? Anybody disagree with that? You can disagree with it, but if we had spent our time on our God, guess what would happen to the church? All the churches in this country would be full of the Holy Spirit and power of God. They expect the pastor to do the job. They expect a few intercessors to do the job. Well, guess what? If intercession is good enough for Jesus, it better be good enough for us. Amen? If it was only for a special few in the church. I've been involved in intercession since 1983. And we were the set-apart ones. We're intercessors. Well, guess what? We tried to tell the leaders in the churches in those days that all were called to be intercessors. And boy, did we ever get smacked upside the head. Well, if it's good enough for Jesus, it better be good enough for you. Well, I don't want to do it. Okay. Don't do it. But you'll pay the price. Because when you don't learn how to pray and be an intercessor, you are literally living on the prayers of other people. What I tell men in prison is, because in prison they don't have pastors. And they all want stuff from God. And I said, well, the only way you're going to get it is you're going to have to learn how to pray. Well, they don't have pastors there. And they're so divided in there, they're all sitting, all they do all day long is sit and fight over the Bible. Well, I got a King James. Well, I got a Hebrew Bible. I got this one. I got that. That's what they do. They sit and argue. And I said, why don't you quit arguing? What I tell them when I do a meeting is I say, why don't you quit arguing about the Bible and just do it? Do it. And then they say, well, no, we're not doing that. We're going to do what we're going to do. I said, well, go do it then. But the reality is the real issue that why Jesus taught the disciples and the people to pray is because he knew that the prayer was the key issue to know his Father, to know the Father. It was the key. The devil has done more stuff in the church to keep people from praying just about anything there is. It's the truth. Because if he can keep each and every one of us dependent on somebody else who is praying, then guess what happens to us? Our life becomes powerless, and we really do not get the benefit of knowing our Father. Because you aren't going to get near your Father unless you're willing to get quiet and get in his presence. You know, we got that written on the beam up there. Lord, I will seek your face. Lord, I will seek. Why? We have to seek his face. That means we're going to have to get in his presence. We're going to have to get near him to do what he wants us to do. We're going to have to get to know him. He speaks to us. He talks to us. He touches us. He breathes on us. The atmosphere of heaven, he'll open it and drop it on us. He'll do that because he loves us. And he's looking for these people. He's just been looking and looking and looking and looking all these years for this bunch of people who will go do it with him. And guess who he picked? You and me. Literally, this is what he did. He picked you and he picked me. He picked us to do this. He chose us. And why did Jesus say, if you obey, if you really love me, you will obey my command? How many times is that in the Bible? It's in there a lot. I think 50 times according to the Why do you keep telling us over and over and over and over and over and over and over that? You think it's the truth? I think it's the truth. I think it's a challenge, y'all. Because our culture says, well, you don't have to do that. I've got this new grace. You can do whatever you want to do. And say you love Jesus. I'm so glad Steve's going to be talking about real grace. Because we live in a culture. Well, I can do what I want to do. Because I'm under grace. Really? Jesus said you got to obey my commands. And now we got a teaching that says God's got his grace. He can do anything you want to do. Who am I going to believe? I'm going to believe what this says. Right there. See, there's an awakening coming. What we used to get away with, we aren't going to get away with anymore. Because see, the interesting thing about getting to know your God, when you're in his presence, you can't hide anything from him. Look, he is more serious about the relationship with you than you can imagine. He sent Jesus to the cross for you. And he loves you. Verse 26 says, But the comforter, the counselor, the helper, the intercessor, the advocate, the strengthener, the standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place to represent me and act on my behalf, he will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall, will remind you of, and bring to remembrance everything I have told you. Powerful statement. But see, that's what's going on. God is faithful, and he's going to show you, and he keeps showing us and stirring us. That's why I prayed. My desire is that the Holy Spirit that's in us, I'm the temple, that is in us, is stirred up by the Lord. That I'm stirred up by God. Have you ever considered being stirred up by God? Yeah, we got to live there. Stir me up, Lord. Stir me up. Stir me up, Holy Spirit. Why? Because when you are, guess what happens? Life is about to happen. And all the negativity, all the attacks, all the stuff is going to become something you want to get rid of. So, now, what are we going to do? I believe the Lord wants to stir some of you up, and he wants you to come to literally open your hearts up and receive from him today. It's like an impartation, because he wants you to have if it's the freshness of the Holy Spirit you need, if it's an encouragement, if it's a stirring in you that, yeah, okay, I do. I heard that message, and I do need to know my God. I need to know him more. I need the Lord to help me know him more. He wants to impart that today to you. Because he set us apart. And we're to be the temples of the Holy Spirit. And God's in the Spirit. He's in the Spirit business. He's in the Spirit business. And some of people struggle with the Spirit. And I know it's been hard for some of you. But it's time that you take that faith that God's given you and step out. Because I'm telling you, he's got a plan. He's got this plan. He's got this destiny. He's got this life that he wants to impart to you, to us, that we would go out and do what he's doing. And believe in me, he's going to do a lot. We're going to see people get saved. We're going to see them get healed. We're going to see them get delivered. We're going to see them rise up. We're going to see dynamic men and women preach the gospel. We're going to see our young people who have the destiny and a call of God in their life go nuts for Jesus. It's time we went crazy for Jesus. Right? Are you up for that? There you go. We got one in the back. She's always up for that, though. That's what I appreciate about Cameron. So anyway, let me see. If you're interested and God's touched you, come on up and we're going to, Steve, can we get you and Chris? Chris, you want to come up? Charlene, come on up. George and Jane, we're going to pray for you. Because I believe the Lord really wants to touch us today. He's in the healing business. There's hearts in this room today that need to be healed. And God wants to heal them. Are you ready?